It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, October 2nd. I'm Noelle King in Los Angeles, in for Ben Johnson. Google and Apple are facing off against U.S. law enforcement agencies over consumer privacy. The companies have changed the default settings on new mobile devices to make it harder for outsiders to access user data. That, of course, gives the customer more privacy, but the government argues it also makes it much harder to obtain evidence of criminal activity. So, does it? Here to help answer that is Ashkan Sultani. He's an independent researcher in privacy and security online. Ashkan, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Could we potentially have a situation where the government says, we have a warrant, we need you to give us the user data, and then Apple says, actually, we can't, and they mean it?
Just to clarify, the features that both Apple and Google now support are features that have been built into their operating systems previously and are just on now by default. And what they are is they essentially allow users to encrypt the contents of their phone kind of like they would encrypt their hard disk.
Some law enforcement officials across the country have said they're worried about things like pedophiles getting away with terrible things or potential terrorists getting away with terrible things. It sounds like what you're saying is not that much has actually changed.
That's right. First off, users can always be compelled to provide their password if there's evidence that the contents of the device will contain something of interest.
Why then do the FBI and other law enforcement agencies sound so very freaked out about this?
I think it basically raises the bar for them to get access to people's information.
The FBI's director, James Comey, was speaking about this last week, and he said, what concerns me about this is companies marketing something expressly to allow people to hold themselves beyond the law. Now, given what you've said, there are some details that have been left out of that statement. But I wonder, given the choice, most of us would probably pick privacy over not having our information private. Does this then force the hand of other companies to do exactly what Google and Apple have done?
I think Google and Apple are trying to compete on features related to privacy after two things. One, we've seen a lot of attention on privacy after the Snowden disclosures. Second, there's a general understanding that we are putting our entire lives on these devices. We saw recently, you know, a number of cases where celebrities had their information accessed and kind of their privacy violated. And I think companies will need to start to compete on security and privacy services in order for consumers to feel comfortable putting their data on there.
Right. And it's not just celebrities, right? It's our health information, our kids' online information, our mobile wallets.
That's right. And all that the companies are doing are changing what the default should be. I think it's generally a good step. And I think law enforcement still can do its job. They've just had a nice little period for the past few years where they could pull you over, copy the contents of your phone, and not only have, you know, your photos, but access to your cloud accounts, access to your email, a very broad access of information that was previously protected as a search.
Ashkan Sultani is an independent researcher in privacy and security online. Ashkan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, here's something you're probably hearing more and more these days from banks and airlines and real estate companies. You know, we have an app for that, so why don't you head there instead of our website? And yes, mobile is convenient and it's personalized, but there's something else. Apps let companies mine much more of your personal data than websites do. From San Francisco, Sam Harnett reports.
If you try to use the real estate website Zillow on your phone, you're bound to run into a full screen ad for one of its apps. Download it, and it'll keep you company day and night.
Now Zillow can be present in your pocket when you're touring open houses, when you're driving around the neighborhood, when you're laying in bed at night, you know, checking something before you go to bed.
Jeremy Waxman leads mobile strategy at Zillow. Two-thirds of its traffic is now on phones, he says. And to better know what you're doing on your phone, Zillow has partnered with Google Now. That app gathers information from places like a user's web browser, phone GPS, and other Google products. Zillow wants to use that data to show people ads for houses before they even know they want them.
That smartphone in your pocket, I mean, that's a very powerful computer. It's more powerful than what was on your desk 5 or 6 years ago. And it also knows a lot about you.
Mobile data opens up all kinds of possibilities for companies. For instance, your contact list can help Instagram connect more user accounts. On the other hand, LinkedIn can learn about your social network from your calendar. And of course, advertisers will pay a pretty penny for that kind of data.
With mobile, you have the GPS location, so exact coordinates, maybe 24/7. And there's access to cameras, microphones, calendars, address books, even vibration of the device.
That's Domingo Guerra. He co-founded AppThority. It evaluates how well apps protect personal information. He says it's uncertain what companies will do with all your data. They don't even know.
The more data they collect now, the more uses they can find for it later.
And if you switch from a website to the mobile app, it may not be obvious what data you're giving up. Susan Grant is from the Consumer Federation of America.
It's not standardized and it's not regulated. So the only way you can tell is looking at the privacy policy. If it's not clear to you what information is being collected, then don't use that app.
Often, she says, it's not clear. In any case, some companies don't leave consumers much of a choice. On Facebook, for example, mobile users can only send messages by downloading its new Messenger app, which, by the way, has been criticized for gathering all sorts of personal data. In San Francisco, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And finally, Facebook says it's working to update its real name policy that requires users to sign up for the network using their given names. The company came under fire after cracking down on performers in the LGBT community who preferred to use stage names. I'm Noel King, and that's Marketplace Tech. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.